podcast@alaskawaterwars.org.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.
The previous presentation of Alaska Water Wars, Stories from Bristol Bay, has been brought to you by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from PD Expendables, Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater productions from gel and globes to paint and lights. They can be reached at 503-887-5880 or their online store at pdexpendables.com.
Is a proud co-sponsor of We've Got Love to Spare on Saturday, April 21st at 11 a.m. at the Grand Central Bowl in Portland. We've Got Love to Spare celebrates parents and supports the Baby Blues organization. The event includes bowling, pizza and soda, face painting, music, and more. Again, that's We've Got Love to Spare on Saturday, April 21st at 11 a.m. at the Grand Central Bowl, 808 Southeast Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
We bowl away our daily blues when we die on those bowling shoes.
Tomorrow morning, KBOO's Lisa Loving will host a live forum with candidates for the Portland City Council in the KBOO studio. Submit your questions on Facebook today, and we will ask the candidates live on the air. Tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. right here on KBOO. And now it's time for Art Focus. Joseph Galavan interviews Silly Pines and Crystal Rutland about Design Week Portland 2018.
My name's Joseph Galavan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Seeley Pines and Crystal Rutland, and they're here talking about Design Week Portland, which runs now through Saturday, 21st of April. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Crystal, we've not had you on the show before, so just say where you work and what the company does.
I'm founder and CEO of Particle Design, and we're a digital agency that works with global companies on essentially building the future. It sounds a little grandiose, but what we're really doing is looking at practical, everyday solutions and how you can design the future for people and with people in mind.
And design now means something a lot broader than pictures and words. It's everything. It's artificial intelligence. And
exactly. Like, we're working with Virgin Hyperloop One right now on designing the future of transportation and what it means to have autonomous, high-speed trains that take people from one location to another. And what is that the whole digital experience that supports people to get from point A to point B look like?
And Seeley, you've been in this studio many times. Just tell us about where you're working and what's happened with Design Week Portland.
Yeah, so I'm the director of Design Week. We're going into our sixth year now. We are, at this point, over 300 events and open houses throughout the city over the course of a week. It's a riot of activity in the design community. And we also really like to pull the public in, folks that are curious about design, folks who are design enthusiasts or just want to learn more.
So this week of events is not just buy a ticket and go to some things. It's very much pick and choose, different prices, and then lots of free events.
That's right. We are a distributed platform. So what's kind of cool about it is that there are hundreds of different folks from the creative community creating this programming independently. You get to experience different parts of the city, different spaces, different perspectives, and it's really not a top-down kind of experience. It's a very distributed look at what is happening in design in Portland today.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're always reading articles about what a wonderful design town this is. Have we peaked?
No, I don't think so. I think that you know, every year there is more and more exciting cross-pollination happening in this town, lots of new energy that comes in, new collaborations, exciting new projects. We see different patterns of design trends that are kind of sweeping throughout, showing up here, and you get to kind of see how the minds in Portland are grappling with these kind of new questions and problems.
Mm-hmm.
As a business owner, I see that we're just at the beginning of attracting a whole different skill set and talent of people to Portland. So just in the last few years, we've seen a dramatic increase in people wanting to come from places like Silicon Valley or the East Coast and bring their design talent or technical talent to Portland.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know lots of people move here so they can, like, walk their pug and drink real ale and all that and go skiing, but what skills do they bring with themselves?
I mean, I think the work-life balance or the kind of culture of Portland is a big attraction, and people are looking to get away from this, you know, constant working 70-hour week type things. But what they're bringing is a real enthusiasm and engagement for how to build a new kind of future together and what the role of design and technology is in that future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we also, year over year, have a lot of consistent participants and also pull in other partner organizations that are working in communities that maybe haven't been as engaged with Design Week before. So insofar as we are engaging folks who are coming in from out of town and also seeing generally the trends in some of the design studios and practices here, having new energy from the influx from outside the city, there's also just a lot more that we're trying to do to engage with folks who have been here, some of them for long, long periods of time, generations, different communities that are really thinking a lot about all the changes that are happening in the city and how we can, as a group, really take everyone into account when we're thinking about what the future of the city looks like, how we can have an inclusive process for thinking about what we want to see happen next here.
So Design Week Portland, one of the big features I think that everyone's heard of is the open houses, where over four nights in four quadrants, or is it five?
People
open up their offices and you can kind of wander around and look at their office, look at their work, meet people. That's obviously been a big success.
Yeah.
Just give us a quick run through of what people can do.
For folks who either haven't engaged before, aren't sure where to start, or even those who have procrastinated so long that they maybe can't get into all the events that they want to go to, open houses are an amazing way to just take a couple of hours in a particular quadrant and do a little walking tour that might expose you to spaces that you otherwise may not be able to access. So this is everything from design studios where, you know, architecture, graphic design, fashion, digital work is happening behind closed doors, to special events that happen in retail locations that you may be able to access at other times, but that may be doing some interesting sample shows with designers or doing something special during this window.
So the open houses begin tonight. That's Tuesday.
That's right.
The 17th.
Yeah.
And there's a different night for four nights.
That's right. So just like a sampling of what you could do tonight if you wanted to, is between 4 and 7 p.m., the open houses are happening in Northwest. And you can go to businesses as diverse as Owen Jones, which is a branding studio, so they work with a lot of companies on their identity and their messaging and the way that they show up in the marketplace, to something like Work & Co., which is a digital product studio. They built Virgin America's website, which was a very forward-thinking and disruptive website at the time, you could go to, you know, the Good Mod, which is a modern, mid-century modern focused showroom of furniture, and kind of see what they have going on there. You could go to Opsis Architecture to see what an architecture practice is like and what projects they're working on. So you really can circulate and see so many different things in a very, very contained period of time and geographical area.
And the actual important people who work in those places will probably be there.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah. So this is very much a piece about hospitality. There's not time-based content going on there. In other words, they're not going to be giving a talk, but this is your chance to really go and have a face-to-face conversation with someone who has, you know, worked on a project that has impacted some kind of day-to-day interaction that you've had, whether or not you know it. So, for example, you know, RGA Portland does a ton of work with Nike. They do lots of digital projects with them. Probably a lot of people here have interacted with something that they have built, whether they know it or not. And so this is kind of this opportunity to go and meet those people who actually make those design decisions and work with the folks at Nike to really chart out what's the future of, you know, retail interactions, what's the future of digital interactions for that brand.
Mm-hmm. And then just to try and focus on a few of the Stana events, I know there are 300, but on today, on Tuesday, is there something people could go and see tonight?
Absolutely. There is so much happening every night of the week. It's actually kind of overwhelming, but a couple of samples of some of what's going on tonight. State of Wonder, the OPB show that April Baer hosts, is doing an event called Buildings Full of Women, which is going to be addressing the fact that a lot of architecture and new development has this primary user profile of young white men and is sort of asking the question, how could the design process shift if we were more inclusive about how we looked at needs from women and people of color and folks with disabilities and people of different sizes, and what kinds of design decisions are being made without regard to those other experiences of space.
So, you know, when people do a rendering and they populate it now with these lifelike creatures.
Yes.
They're usually white guys.
Uh-huh.
Or white women. But are you saying that kind of thinking is pervasive?
It is.
In architecture?
Yeah. I mean, developers are often thinking about young professional male residents and workers when they're developing new spaces. So this is kind of like this intersectional approach that they're taking that just asks this open question of how could that shift to be a broader lens and accommodate more people, the elderly, marginalized groups, just thinking about things that might not come up if you are not really taking those different experiences into account.
Mm-hmm. And there's another piece tonight, Sketch Exchange with Jordan Metcalf.
Yes. So WeMake is a local nonprofit organization that runs a lot of community events in the design community. And they're doing actually a trio of type focused events. So this would be lettering events. Jordan Metcalf is a South African designer and illustrator. He's done a lot of lettering in his body of work. And so their Sketch Exchange event is going to be featuring his work. They're also doing a show called 26, a lettering show, which is going to feature 26 different creatives. And their interpretations of letter forms. And they are also bringing in Jessica Hish, who's very well known in the design community for her lettering and illustration and design work. And she's going to be doing a small workshop that's much more targeted for people who want a hands-on experience.
And then Wednesday the 18th, there are three interesting things. One of them is about monsters. Who's Dan Catcher?
Yeah, so Dan Catcher designs monsters, and you have probably seen his work and not known it. He designed the dragons on Game of Thrones, and Wacom is hosting an event in their Experience Center in the Pearl on Wednesday, where he will be giving a presentation that sort of shows his process behind the scenes.
So that's the Wacom Center on 14th.
That's right.
The digital tablet people.
Yes.
And then there's F-Up Night. What is that?
That's actually a really fun event where it's almost, I don't know if you've heard of the format Pechakucha, which is people getting up and doing really quick slide presentations, but it's basically these stories about your F-Ups. There are lots of F-Ups involved in the design process, and that's actually one of the kind of nice things about this event is just, you know, I feel like a lot of times in design events, people are celebrating their big successes, and you're looking at these products that have had huge impact or audiences, but rarely do you actually get to see all of the terrible things that happen along the way. And things that get just discarded outright. And there's so much of that in the design process. So it's kind of nice to have an event that's sort of opening up the kimono all the way and showing, you know, the good and the bad.
And that's at PNCA, where they teach an MFA in collaborative design.
Correct.
So that'll be PNCA people talking and students.
Yeah, they've organized it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Lots of post-it notes.
Hey, there's lots of post-it notes everywhere you go.
Really?
Yes. That's also a mainstay of design, I feel.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Crystal Rutland of Particle Design and Celie Pines. She's the director of Design Week Portland, which runs now through Saturday, April 21st. Crystal, one of the speakers at a event called Empathy, Bots, and the Future of AI, as in artificial intelligence. Just tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, we're putting on an event that is a TED-like event, which is a series of short-form talks, about 10 to 15 minutes each, by four different speakers who are experts in the AI industry. And those talks will be interspersed with performances by local artists to kind of help inspire people to think in new ways about artificial intelligence and the impact that it's having on our lives currently and where it might be going in the future.
What on earth can artists tell us about artificial intelligence?
Well, I think what artists can do is help us to think differently and more expansively about the impact of what some of these new technologies have on our lives and how they might help us express ourselves in new and interesting ways as a society.
So AI, I think everyone's suddenly aware of it because all the little games they played on Facebook turned out they had an ulterior motive. Is that what we should think of when we think of AI? Are you taking it in a different direction?
Well, yeah, when we think about AI or talk about artificial intelligence, I think people often think of things in the media or movies like The Terminator or Skynet going live. Or recently, more attention has been paid to things that AI is affecting, like how our data is being consumed and shared and what it means for us to read news or be exposed to things socially. And I think that new kind of focus on AI is a really interesting perspective to take, because I think the general population is starting to understand that AI isn't something that lives in the future. It's something that's impacting our lives right now. When we talk about AI, I think we really should be talking about AIs, plural. And this is because if you take a step back and you first define intelligence, and what do we mean by intelligence? Broadly speaking, a less controversial way to describe intelligence is to think of it as a way for us to accomplish goals. And those goals can be simple, straightforward goals, or they can be ambitious goals. And so the more you're able to accomplish goals flexibly and in an ambitious way, you're considered a more intelligent species, if you will, right? So chimpanzees can accomplish certain goals, but do them in a more narrow way than, say, humans can accomplish goals. Or bees build hives and beavers build dams, but humans can look at a hive and a dam and build a dam that has a honeycomb structure for strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think of that kind of broader intelligence, what we're really talking about is AGI, or artificial general intelligence. And when you're talking about what Facebook is doing, you're talking about narrow AI, or AI that's built to achieve specific goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be talking about both at our event, and we have experts from Google and Amazon and others who are building the AI of now and also thinking about the AI of the future.
Right. I mean, the way I think of AI is it just reads everything and looks for patterns and makes kind of simple predictions. Are you saying that there's a whole different world of AI coming?
Well, I think that what you're thinking about AI is accurate in terms of what's happening today, right? In the last 5 to 10 years, the rise of neural networks and kind of algorithms that can read data, anticipate patterns, and do things like speech recognition or image recognition. Those are the things that are impacting us now, and those are the things that are going to be most influencing of us in the near future versus the AI that you might see in the movies where, you know, the robots are going to take over kind of mm-hmm. a thing.
And when did this become the purview of designers?
Well, once AI became prominent enough that the way that our devices work, or the way that it essentially influences our relationship with the virtual world. So as designers, as digital designers, we are interested in helping to essentially facilitate communication between the virtual world and the real world. That's what our screens are doing, etc. And with the rise of artificial intelligence, the way our technology works is much more contextual, intelligent, and less. A screen is becoming less and less necessary for us to interact with the virtual world. So you've got things like Amazon Alexa that you can talk to, or you can use facial recognition to log in to your device securely without mm-hmm. having to enter anything in. So we're having to think about what do all of these things mean in terms of how we're interacting with our devices.
Do you have an Alexa?
Yes.
So do I. Mine's actually getting dumber, and like she can only come up with like 5 Mozart tunes before going back to the beginning.
That's interesting.
Strange. So maybe she's learning from my ignorance and just regressing.
So you think she was smarter at the beginning,
definitely,
and she's become less smart?
Yeah. Maybe she's jealous of Google Assistant.
Right. Well, and I think what you're getting at here is a really interesting thing that machine learning specialists are having to deal with, right, which is the self-learning algorithms, and they're narrowing, you know, some of what they're doing is they're trying to learn our behaviors and patterns. But what this can manifest in is rather than a broadening of experiences or broadening of exposure to things, it can inadvertently and unintentionally narrow our exposure or narrow our look into things, right? And so this was a big topic of interest during the election, where news mm-hmm. keeps getting curated and curated more and more towards us into more and more narrow and fractious areas
mm-hmm.
rather than expanding our horizons. So there's definitely kind of unintended consequences in the AI arena that we need to be thinking about.
But that can never happen in Portland with people like Celia around to organize how many hundred events?
Yep. Well, yeah. I mean, our vision really is for that broadening experience. We want, you know, architects to go to graphic design events. We want fashion designers to go to digital events. We really don't want people staying in their silos, because what we've found is that cross-pollination is what gives rise to innovation.
Celie, Thursday, April the 19th, there are some interesting events going on, Adidas Maker Lab and something at Japanese Garden. Mm-hmm. Just tell us what's going on at Adidas.
Well, Adidas is opening their Maker Lab actually this entire week between 1 and 3 for 25 lucky people who get to go in there and see all of the amazing stuff that they can do in that space. They have all kinds of ways to fabricate things in there, from 3D printing to CNC cutting to sewing. There's walls of fabric. And the piece that they're doing for Design Week Portland is to allow people to customize their own t-shirts in that space so that they can see what dye sublimation printing is like, and how you would apply something to fabric. We're actually also doing, quietly in the background, a youth track in partnership with Portland Workforce Alliance, where we're taking Portland public high school students into different itineraries each day this week. And one of the days they get to go to Adidas for a full day experience, including a hands-on workshop in that same space where they'll get to customize sneakers. So there's tons of stuff that you can do at that space in Adidas, and it's pretty amazing as a resource for people to learn about different hands-on ways of making. They really believe that engaging with the materials helps everyone in their company, whether they are designers or not, really understand more about the process of making product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a ton of free events. There's also some high-end ones. A tour of the new Kengo Kuma buildings at the Japanese Garden, $50.
Yes. So that is an opportunity to walk through the garden, which you can kind of do anytime, but also to hear a presentation from folks who were involved in making that space, from the standpoint of the garden curation, the architecture, the landscape design. So it's an opportunity to really talk to the people who made the design decisions that remade that whole space.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a member of the Japanese Garden for a few years now, and they've recently made some changes that are just stunning. So if you haven't been up there in a while, it would be a great thing to do.
And for $150, you can learn about cats and macrame.
Yes. Well, Emily Katz.
Get out of that one.
Nyak, nyak. You're about to see the wordplay here. So Emily Katz is a local designer, and she is running this macrame workshop. It's a small workshop where folks will get to do hands-on work with macrame and come out of it with, you know, something to show for themselves. They will also get to engage with cats from the Humane Society, which is what the Cat Cafe is all about. And for folks who either can't afford to do this or can't make it in before it sells out, there's a party in that space right afterwards where you'll get to see all the macrame that was made, do a participatory project, and, of course, snuggle with some cats.
And I'll just mention a couple of standout events. The Pressure is Good for You, a talk show at Instrument, hosted by Adam Garcia. That's Friday at 6 o'clock all evening. And then Saturday, there's the second annual Sustainable Fashion Forum at Yale Union.
Yes.
And that is noon till 8.
Yes.
So you have it's a very diverse amount of events in terms of price and discipline.
Yeah. And people sometimes get overwhelmed looking at our schedule. You can come onto our website, designweekportland.com, and see a whole list of events or look at the map of open houses to explore which spaces to visit. But sometimes even that list is so overwhelming that people feel a little bit stuck. And so what we've started doing is putting together itineraries that suggest a certain set of events for certain interests, whether it's something that's more discipline specific, so, you know, graphic design or architecture or fashion, for example, or something that's more thematically driven, like food and drink events, things that are more friendly to families, you know, things that will kind of cut down those hundreds of things into something a little bit more digestible so that you can scan and learn a little bit about an interest set that you have.
Mm-hmm. So you've been using the same website for 4 years, right? Or the same design?
Yeah.
By who?
So originally the site was built by Scribbletone, which is a local, very small studio of two people. They are incredible. They are type designers and digital designers and product designers. They developed the custom typeface that forms our logo, and they originally built the digital infrastructure that we're still using now that we've been working with Fine to maintain and evolve. They also recently launched a really cool project called Future Fonts, where you get to see typefaces in development. Typically, people don't get to see typefaces until they're entirely done and marketed for sale. And this sort of opens the door for type designers to share what they're doing, get feedback as they're developing the typeface, and get people really interested in them before they go to market.
But you don't have a web app. You don't have a mobile app. You just use the website on the phone, and it works really well.
Yes.
So your task really is to slice up hundreds of events into different servings.
Yes.
And it does actually work quite well.
Yeah.
On the web and in print.
Yeah. Yeah, our print programs are hot off the press. We're going to be getting them out in all kinds of public spaces, and they'll also be available at many of the venues that are participating.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Crystal Rutland of Particle Design, and Celie Pines of Fine, and she's the director of Design Week Portland, which runs now through Saturday, April 21st. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thank you.
Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public